From a warm spot in the cockles of my heart, in the darkest recesses of my mind, it's Joculation with your host, LB Faust. Joculation is an interactive social broadcast hosted by the cultural attaché to the SARS and ringmaster of the shit show himself, LB Faust. It features original satire, comedy, punk rock, and humorous bits every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. That's 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time. To experience Joculation in its entirety, listen live on mspwaves.com or join the audience in the Circle of Intimacy on the Peace, Abundance, and Liberty Discord server every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. Due to copyright restrictions, all segments which feature music from other artists and performers have been removed from this recording. On with the show.
Well, how the hell are you? Finally, LP Faust has come back to Friday nights.
Woo!
Dude, I need to go ahead and get like a Ric Flair there. I'll tell you what, kids. Today's theme of the show is, well, we hope that LP doesn't have COVID because, I mean,
Fuck you fucking fuckers!
There I was, innocently minding my own fucking business over at work, right? And, of course, we got like every third person in the office out now sitting there in this pandemic. And thank you, Normok. And, you know, like 20% of the workforce is gone. And I'm realizing it's like the 20% that keep hijacking my fucking day. So it's actually being like a nice, peaceful coexistence at work. It's been a great, wonderful time with all these people out sick, the parasites that won't leave me alone. And so I get called into this urgent manager's meeting, right? And, you know, me and my CFO that's over there, we look at each other and I'm kind of like, I don't know how I feel about going up there. I think I just kind of want to go ahead and like audio in, you know? Oh no, this is an important thing. Well, it turned out that there were like a lot of people that were going to get bled out and like laid off and stuff like that. So apparently I had to go up there and get in the know. And I go up inside there and I'm questioning whether or not it really makes a whole lot of sense to have like a bunch of people jammed in a room together when like this shit's spreading like wildfire all over work, right? One would think that maybe you want to go ahead and have everybody, I don't know, remote in. You know what I'm saying there? Huh?
Can I make myself clear?
Uh-huh.
Because I am not going to write this shit down.
Now, the million-dollar question, Carlos, is did we all remote in? I'm just wondering.
No.
So LP's just sitting there, got his, like, you know, face bag on himself here, like everybody else in the room. And I have one person that comes over. You know that meme that goes ahead and shows there's a whole, like, wall of urinals, and this one guy picks a urinal all the way at the end, and the dude walks in and just, like, stands in the urinal right next to him when he's got, like, 42 urinals to choose from? Yeah, I lived that very, very meme that day. It's like, there's a million chairs in this fucking room, dude. Why are you sitting next to me? Go over there. I know. You love my man's sweat. You love my man's scent. You want to be close to a real man. I get it, and I understand it. Sometimes these things happen. But listen. There's a million other seats over there. Go away. Does he go away from us, Carlos? I'm just wondering. Huh?
No.
No, instead he goes ahead and sits right next to me. And I'm like, whatever. Okay. So, you know, you just kind of like roll the chair over with those squeaky wheels. Like, squeak, 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 as you pull away, right? Almost like you're sitting there going, oh, crap. So I thought I went ahead and socially distanced myself, if you will. And I was just kind of like, mostly I wanted to be left alone. And so I go into work today, and I'm feeling a little worn out and stuff like that. And up in my inbox there is this message. By the way, we had like a COVID positive test in the management group. And I'm like, shocked. I mean, were we shocked that that would
come out new?
Because there were 10 of us or 12 of us crammed in a fucking room together, right? So who is it that goes ahead and pops positive but the jackass that was next to me, right? Well, here's the best part, right? I hear everybody going, oh, well, LP, oh, so sad. Listen, I don't want to catch any of your fucking cooties. I don't care if it's a cold. I don't care if it's the flu. I don't give a shit if it's COVID. I don't fucking want it. You know why? Because I don't like being sick. Well, turns out that Spanky over here wound up knowing about this because, I don't know, his fucking girlfriend or fiance or whatever just tested positive, like, 2 days prior or whatever the fuck it was. And I'm sitting here going, bro, couldn't you have, like, fucking called a friend? Couldn't you have called in? Couldn't you have done something other than that? So, We'll see if LP pops positive. Probably going to go get a COVID test tomorrow because you know how it is, man. 5 days off. Is that a terrible way of looking at it? It's like, hey, man, sorry I can't make it in. But you know something, kids? I suppose it could have been worse, right? Sitting there going ahead and potentially getting COVID. Who gives a shit anyways? Just going to get sick for a bit, right? It could have been worse. I mean, it could have been like this dude that's getting like, I don't know, Mountain Dew pus pulled out of his shoulder off of Dr. Pimple Popper out there. You know, like,
hey, what the fuck?
Bro, Mountain Dew like shit coming out of your shoulder. Yeah, man. So apparently the latest episode of Dr. Pimple Popper, real name Sandra MD, she helped a patient called Delano who had nearly a liter of strange yellow liquid in his back that viewers claim looks like Mountain Dew. I'm just like, bro.
Hey, what the fuck?
All right, so maybe my cold and my sniffles and all that stuff aren't as bad as that. Well, viewers were amazed when she drained a man's giant cyst using 33 syringes, with people comparing the mystery liquid to the energy drink Mountain Dew.
I mean, what the fuck?
Anybody thirsty now? So she numbed the area and did this, and she's like, this is definitely not a lipoma. You don't have cancer, and you're not going to die. I don't even know why it's there, and I don't know why it's collecting there, but obviously something's leaking, and you know what? Leaks, fixing them doesn't bring ratings. I need new people back. That's what she said, or maybe I'm paraphrasing a little bit. So if you're wondering what 33 syringes worth of Mountain Dew pus looks like, well, kids, don't worry about it. There you go. Just for the for some context. So she eventually gets his back as flat as possible, right? And reveals the 33 syringes and then breaks the news to him that, you know, they're going to probably fill up again. So it's just like, bro.
I mean, what the fuck?
Thanks for helping, I think. I don't know. So you know something? One of the sad things is, of course, there are things that are worse than my sniffles out there in the world that can go, that need to go ahead and get taken care of. Like our source of Mountain Dew that's over there, right? For those of us that go ahead and drink it, not me, of course. But I'll tell you what I really probably need next time in order to go ahead and make sure that none of this shit ever happens again. That I don't go ahead and get contaminated by somebody else's cooties. You know what I need to do? I need to go ahead and hit up this dude's TikTok page because apparently he's a time traveler and he's revealing the date of a dangerous new COVID strain which will emerge. You know what I'm saying?
How dare you?
So time travelers announced wacky 2022 predictions, including a new and more dangerous COVID strain. And are you ready, kids? Let's sit down. Did you get the dry mouth? Hey, Darsko, you want to know something? I don't even know if I've got it yet. We'll find out about that probably later this weekend. But you know what I'm doing to combat the dry mouth, dry throat, dry all that stuff? Dude, the age-old Irish tradition here. Dude, whiskey you know, fixes everything. So what I'm having over in the corner here is I'm actually having a room temperature toddy, but minus the water, honey, and lemon. So basically I've got a dram of whiskey right next door over here. So you know what? I'm actually good. If I'm running out of anything, I can just go over here, and I can grab my co-pilot, right? Some people have Jesus. I got my co-pilot here. Hold on. And just like that, the throat is clear. We're parched. It's like, it's almost like drinking paint thinner. It's fantastic because it just strips all the shit away. You know what I'm saying? But I digress, man. Hey, listen. Normak, we don't care about the new COVID strain. What's important in this headline here is that there's a half-human, half-ape child going to be born with mixed features, because that headline sounds awfully racist to me is what I'm saying, okay?
How dare you?
Mixed features in this day and age of pronoun issues and all that stuff and all kinds of sensitivities. I'm just saying, dude, that's a very bad headline. But it's caught my attention and I'm hooked now. So let's take a look here for a second. So in the video, the self-described time traveler says they're becoming annoyed. People are doubting their credibility. So they gave some new dates for people to put in their diaries, which they insist will set the record straight once and for all. All right, hold on a second. Let me ask a question here. I hear a lot of they in here, okay? I'm thinking Demi Lovato, right? That's who I'm thinking over here is possibly this time traveler.
How dare you?
But you know something? I could be wrong. So he says, I've been thought of as a fake time traveler for too long, okay?
How dare you?
So remember these three major dates in early 2022. All right, kids, let's pull out our pen and paper here. Very important moments here. This is going to be, there will be a test on this later, okay? So, kids, all right, we ready?
Who the fuck thinks this is popcorn time?
First off, March 11th, the first human has a child with a chimpanzee. It can talk and has mixed features.
I mean, what the fuck?
I'm not sure how to take that one, guys. I'm not sure. But moving on, April 19th, conveniently after the new chimpanzee child is born, a new COVID strain, Omega, emerges, 5 times worse than all other versions. All right, we've got that one sorted out. Excellent. Number 3, remember, there'll be a test on this later. September 17, the largest creature is discovered in the ocean, called Sirene Croen, over 4 times the size of a blue whale. All right? I mean, hey, listen.
I mean, what the fuck?
This source is coming from TikTok, incredibly reliable. Probably did a couple of the challenges and survived. Maybe did a few beauty hacks and hammered a couple of units of whatever into their face, and they've got a Salvador Dali-like look going on over there. But apparently they're incredibly reliable. They're upset that you're doubting them. How dare you?
How dare you?
How could you even, right? So remember, kids, once again, March 11th, first human child with a chimpanzee. It can talk and has mixed features. How racist. Number 2, April 19th, a new COVID strain emerges, 5 times worse than all other versions. Number 3, September 17th, the largest creature is discovered in the ocean, called Sirene Croen, over 4 times the size of a blue whale. Of course, the predictions all seem extremely unlikely, and the creator has made a habit of predicting strange creatures being discovered by scientists in the deep sea. So, not that they've been discredited or anything, but listen, he's a time traveler, and he predicts on February 14th, it'll be Valentine's Day, okay, kids? All right? Are we all on the same page?
Did I make myself clear?
Uh-huh.
Because I am not going to write this shit down.
Now, if you're tired of going ahead, or maybe you're a bit of a skeptic, that this particular individual here actually can go ahead and predict the future, well, you know what? Maybe what we need to do is we need to get somebody who's a little more reputable. Somebody who's got, like, I don't know, some kind of a track record of going ahead and using predictions. And, of course, it's always got to be done in the strangest of ways, right? What are the strangest of ways that you could possibly imagine here? Oh, I don't know. How about we go ahead and have a mystic fortune teller that predicts shit with asparagus? Because that's pretty fucking random. You know what I'm saying?
What the fuck?
I mean, shit, dude. Whenever I go into a produce aisle, the first thing I'm thinking of is, hey, how about I take all this produce, throw it up in the fucking air, and it'll go ahead and tell me everything that I want to know about the future. You know what I'm saying there? I mean, come on now.
Anybody having fun around here? Anybody think that this is popcorn time?
See, I probably need that person to predict what the fuck is going on with my audio, but we'll digress on that and just keep moving on. Yeah, man, just grab some random weird-looking thing, some very, like, pretentious fruit, maybe like a fucking pear or maybe a persimmon or some shit like that. Throw it up in the air, maybe chuck it at people, I don't know. So what winds up happening is this chick goes ahead and takes a bunch of asparagus and chucks it straight up in the air, and however they land is kind of like tea leaves. Now, she's claiming she's at the, what is this here? Whoop, back up, LP. She's Jemima Packington, that's her name. 65, also known as the Mystic Veg. And she claims she can see the future by tossing asparagus in the air and interpreting how they land. She predicted Brexit, Harry and Meghan stepping down as senior royals, and Boris Johnson becoming the PM. So, listen, man, that's absolutely reliable. That's excellent. Vegan psychics. Bro, hey, don't doubt their power there, okay, Gray? I'm just saying, you never know. She might hex your ass, you know what I'm saying? So she reckons that Boris Johnson's going to remain the prime minister. She also is saying that for the royal family, there's going to be misery in the form of scandals and worse, Prince Andrew. You know, things like that. Although at the top of their table at the end of 2021, she doesn't think Man City will clinch the Premier League title like anyone here gives a shit and actually pays attention to soccer. Now, she says her technique has not changed, right? She still casts the asparagus and interprets the patterns from them. And what winds up happening is she initially learned this when she was 8 years old, where she inherited her gift from her elderly aunt who reads tea leaves. And I'm just like, yeah, okay. Cheaper than copper divining rods, dude. Copper in today's day and age, brother, you better go ahead and, like, take out, like, a freaking loan to go ahead and get a bar of copper. Good thing I actually have copper coins. I don't know why. They were gag coins. I enjoyed them. So She's saying she's seeing the patterns for her as instantaneous. Possibly it's because she's had years of practice. And she claims to have a 75% to 90%. She's 75% to 90% accurate with her predictions. Well, you want to know something. I think that really what she needs to do is get out there and start, like, selling her services, because there are people that could desperately use her services. I know what you're asking. Hey, LP, is that you talking about you? Absolutely not, man. I'm good. I don't really need to go ahead and divine the future. But I'll tell you who does. People like this dude here who had, like, plain dump human shit all over him, splattering his whole garden and umbrellaing him when he was just innocently minding his own fucking business. All right, this audio is fucking killing me here. What is going on with my connections? What can I say, kids? I'm going to go ahead and have to ask, is the audio as jacked up on your side as it is on my side? Because I'm telling you, I'm hearing like crackly shit all over the place. Like I'm eating a bowl of Rice Krispies or trying to talk through one. At any rate, yeah, it's all jacked up. How freaking awesome is that? Well, we'll have to make do, I guess, or we'll just play a lot of music and I'll try to go ahead and hotwire it on my side. We'll figure it out. But first, so this Windsor man, he's left in deep despair as he's sitting there innocently planting and doing shit in his garden, and he was left covered head to toe in human shit after a plane unleashed its toilet waste into his garden. Dude.
How dare you?
The disgusting downpour managed to cover the entire garden of his home, meaning that the garden umbrellas and him were left soiled. You know, this would have been absolutely fucking fantastic. I heard it with one of the drops, but otherwise it sounds okay. Good. Well, I'll try not to go ahead and fuck it up too badly, okay, PZ? So I'm just thinking to myself, could you imagine this dude's out in his like backyard, probably drinking a mint julep or some pretentious shit like that, right? Looking over his daffodils that have just gone ahead, and see, that triggers a memory of the movie Big Fish. Daffodils. So he's probably looking over his daffodils and stuff, sitting there thinking about the new things he's going to go ahead and put into his garden, probably talking to his mom, maybe going ahead and writing a card or a letter to a friend, maybe sitting there watching some silly thing on his iPad. Nah, he'd probably be drinking a mint julep and having like a freaking brunch in the afternoon, right, by his pool. And of course, for some reason, flights have been diverted. And of course, that's the moment that somebody says, hey, you know something? The shitter's full. Kind of like something out of the Griswold's Christmas show. Dude, that would have been fucking fantastic. Next thing you know, great big lump of shit just falls from the sky and covers the entire place. Oh, man, I wish that was captured on video. That's something that we need to go ahead and see on TV. That, kids, is quality programming. You know what I'm saying? So the moral of the story is, to prevent yourself from having one of these episodes where shit might just fall from the sky and bury you in a great big umbrella, you too might want to go ahead and ditch Miss Cleo, because tarot is so yesterday. Tarot is so 5 minutes ago. I mean, everybody's doing tarot. And go over to the Mystic Veg fortune teller and have her toss a few asparagus spears into the air to divine what the future is coming to you. Perhaps something you should avoid, like that asshole who sat next to me earlier today. If only I had gone ahead and consulted the Mystic Veg before going to work. You know what I'm saying? All right, kids.
Did I make myself clear?
Uh-huh.
Because I am not going to write this shit down.
All right, I'm going to try and hotwire this thing so it actually works properly, because I thought I had it under control. So much for that. Hey, Ron, it's fucking up again. Oh, he's not here. At any rate, I'll tell you what. Let's listen to some tunes. I'm LP Faust. I'm your host, cultural attaché to the stars, ringmaster of the shit show this evening. You're listening to Joculation. I mean, PZ, do you have something against ambitious cowbell? For Christ's sake, man, is there anything? Does this song need more cowbell? I'm just kind of wondering.
How about new?
No, man, it's got just the right amount of cowbell. It's like the Goldilocks of cowbell. You know what I'm saying there? And, you know, thinking about it, speaking about brown showers and all that stuff, is it time for Bitcoin to dump yet? I'm just kind of wondering because, oh, my God, man. Fortunes are lost here in seconds as we sit and watch Bitcoin plummet to the fucking earth. You know what I'm saying? Good Lord. At any rate, kids, hey, it's Friday night. I'm LP Faust. Our circle of intimacy is just very, very intimate this evening. You know how it goes.
One of us, okay? That's one of us. Google gobble, one of us. We accept that one of us. Google gobble, one of us. We accept that one of us.
Where's Dracos for the BTC Doom? You know something, Gray? I have absolutely no idea. All I can say is, like, yesterday, I'm kind of sitting there going, oh, cool. No, it was 2 days ago. Before the minutes of the Fed came out, I'm like, hey, maybe there's some consolidation around like 46K. That'll be fantastic. And then, of course, the minutes of the meeting came out. Everything went to shit, and they're just like, dude, come on, man.
How dare you?
I was offended. I was offended. You know why?
I like money.
So do I. But, boy, where is it going now? All right, kids. So Friday night, we went ahead and we talked about the Mystic Veg, the fortune teller. We went ahead and talked about all kinds of interesting things. At the beginning of the show, Dr. Pimple Popper, LP Faust, trying to avoid COVID, all kinds of shit like that. You want to know something, kids? At the beginning of the year, we always have some interesting things happening, right? Usually it's the mad rush to suddenly find that altruistic part of yourself to go ahead and donate your shit, give it away, so then that way you can get a tax write-off because... are we doing it for charity because we actually care about people?
How about no?
Of course not. We're doing it for one reason, kids, and one reason only.
I like money.
So, you know, what would only be fair to go ahead and discuss at this stage of the game is some of the strange donations some of the shops, the thrift shops, have received back over in 2021 to make sure that people could go ahead and get in on that tax credit. You know, once upon a time, in a few episodes in the past, we talked about that beautiful cocaine kit from grandma's 1970s cocaine kit that somebody stumbled across in their attic with a beautiful mother of pearl dish and some other accoutrements and stuff like that. Would have made for a fantastic piece to go ahead and put over inside of one of those wonderful, like, I don't know, kids' toy sections over inside of the local thrift shop. Well, the thrift shop apparently is starting to get more interesting items that are probably better than grandma's old cocaine kit. So, the things like a used pregnancy test and a castration tool, those are amongst the things that that charity shops have been receiving as strange donations over in 2021. Because,
I mean, what the fuck?
You know, I happen to have an extra castration thingamajiggy over in the corner here, complete with the rubber bands and all of that stuff. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, since I don't have any active plans to cut anyone's nuts off, maybe I should just go ahead and donate this and give it to some worthy cause. You know what
the fuck?
So a charity's revealed that some of the wackiest items brought to its donation shops include things like an umbilical cord, a used pregnancy test, and an animal castration device because, you know.
I mean, what the fuck?
Everyone's got a spare. So false teeth, a used pregnancy test, a tool for chopping off the testicles are just some of the baffling items donated to one of the nation's largest charity shop chains. Children's charity Bernardo's revealed the bizarre list of objects brought to their 620 stores this year as they launched a fresh appeal for unwanted gifts ahead of Christmas Day because nothing says Merry Christmas, Santa's been thinking about you, quite like here's a castration freaking thing. Yeah, right?
I mean, what the fuck?
So the organization admitted that they're grateful for all the donations from well-meaning members of the public. And, you know, a few of them raised the eyebrows. One of the favorite was a dead scorpion suspended in a jar of formaldehyde, which they donated to a university. They also opened a leather handbag to find an old set of false teeth inside. Some in the city also became unwitting recipients of a used pregnancy test. But, of course, the most startling discovery comes from one of their districts where a farmer brought in a tool for castrating lambs. And, of course, what they said is they'll go ahead and take all of these things, which can't be exchanged, off your hands so long as they're in, like, quote, good condition and suitable for resale. So most of us have received Christmas presents that may be of good quality, cost a fair bit, but are just not suitable for ourselves. So instead of putting them back in the drawer and forgetting about them, why not donate them to the local San Bernardo store? You know, this makes me start thinking, right? Wouldn't it have been great if somebody went ahead and donated a bunch of, like, this candle smells like my vag candles? You know, the Gwyneth Paltrow vag crotch rot candles or maybe a couple of candles from like the KFC gravy edition. Shit like that would have been fantastic things to go ahead and unload over in these wonderful times. So then we could just like, you know, take the deduction and get rid of a bunch of shit and just, I don't know, maybe go ahead and turn up in one of these stories or something, right? But then again, you know, people are all known for doing weird, stupid shit. And if it's not to go ahead and give away a bunch of shit that you don't want, like, hey, I found these, like, you know, these Cheetos, these Flamin' Hot Cheetos that were wedged between the cushions of my couch for the past 2 years or whatnot. Here, go ahead and take these and let me see if I can get a tax write-off. Sometimes people just take it a little bit too far and decide to do stupid shit to their pets. And while some people will dress them up in dumb fucking outfits and humiliate them, other people will attempt to go ahead and dye their dog's hair and turn it into a flaming hot Cheeto that walks around quite like that.
And I mean, what the fuck?
Dude, listen, PSA, leave your fucking pets alone. Anytime you come up with a stupid idea like this, right? What you want to do is, like, rethink it. Leave your pets alone. They're not doing anything but going ahead and trying to sit there, get a free meal off you, get a free place to go ahead and get some room and board, and they give you a couple woofs and a, you know, tail wag. Don't sit there and try to, like, dye their hair, okay? I'm just saying.
Did I make myself clear?
Uh-huh.
Because I am not going to write this shit down.
So apparently Issa Beasley, she asked for some cleaning advice after showing the mess her dog made when she tried to dye it in pink, right? The dog made the fucking mess. Why are you dyeing your dog's hair pink? Oh, because you're somebody on TikTok, right? Did you run out of fucking Gorilla Glue or something? I'm just wondering. Asking in passing, you know? I bet you you're the same person. You know what type of people will go ahead and do this shit to their pet? It's the same people that want to go ahead and get some Insta-fake tan put on them, you know, so that they go ahead and look like either some sort of Oompa Loompa or like they rolled in shit, kind of like this girl over here, right? So, Lily Draycott, she regretted the decision of using an instant fake tan to achieve a last-minute sun-kissed look. She left her viewers howling when she showed the darker-than-dark color on her face. So, a woman, she shared her fake horror story, or her fake tan horror story, after the dark color set in on her face and left her looking like, quote, she'd rolled in shit. Right?
I mean, what the fuck?
She was mortified when she was rushing to get ready for an event, asking her mom to apply an instant fake tan to her. And she explained on TikTok, because that's what you should do. Anytime you got some shitty-looking beauty act that you tried to do and you look like you, quote, rolled in shit, the first thing you need to do, bust out that camera, humiliate yourself on TikTok. Don't worry, you'll get a million upvotes. I'm sure it'll matter, you know? Upvotes on TikTok are like the PSR rating of, like, Naked and Afraid, right? Let me risk my life and do stupid shit over here completely naked so that my PSR rating can go up and I get absolutely no money out of it. Because that makes fucking perfect sense, right? Actually, that's a Ric Flair.
Whoa!
Yeah, there we go. And, of course, if you happen to die, don't worry. We're not going to really actually feel bad, but we'll go ahead and pretend. Oh. You know what I'm saying? Something like that. But I digress. So, she explained on TikTok, avoiding to show her face to the camera, saying, I've got an event tonight, and I forgot to tan last night, so I panicked. I thought I'd come up with an answer. I went out and got an instant tan, which develops in about 6 hours, right? She got some ass bukkake. So I whacked some of that on. My mom did it for me. It looks a bit dark, but what you got to do is trust the process. That's where you fucked up, Lily. But I digress. We're getting back into this. So she pans the camera down to show the viewers the instant look. And she continued, tell me why I looked into the mirror and saw this. It's even worse on camera, actually. The best part about this is it's one bottle. It says you don't have to wash it off for a darker than dark tan. But if you want a lighter tan, you wash it off so you can go out and look like this. Just like, oh, hello, girls. I love your tan. What color is it? Rolled in shit? You know what the best part about this is? I have seen, like, if you ever go and actually take a look at the brand that she's talking about, this instant tan brand, one of the greatest things is if you go and take a look at the comments in the section of what it was like when they went ahead and used the actual tanning product, it's nothing but terrible experience after terrible experience. Now, it's not as good as the Veet hair removal one, right, where the guy went ahead and decided to put some Veet hair removal on his scrotum, and he went ahead and talked about how it peeled layers of skin off of his scrot and all that sort of stuff. It's not that good, but it's fantastic how many tanning fails there are out of, like, this tan-in-a-bottle stuff. And, of course, what you got to think about is, hey, let's go over to, like, a professional to go get this done. And ironically, talking about Veet, I was digging around, and, of course, when you go ahead and look at the TikTok hashtag over on the Daily Star, the very first thing that comes up is just everything that's repulsively awesome and just incredibly, like, jaw-dropping. So I think my favorite one had to be a Brazilian waxer's confessions from farting fails to sweaty clients. And I'm just kind of like,
fuck?
So this beautician, she spilled some of the most shocking things that she's seen during a Brazilian wax appointment, as clients don't wash properly and seem to be the most irritating of the lot. But as we go ahead and look at this stuff, she has her fantastic list of do's and don'ts that maybe when you're planning on going ahead and getting all the hair ripped out of your scrot, or perhaps going ahead and trying to wax that vagina like a Buick, you might not want to do a few of these things. Number one, right? If you're planning to head to the gym before hitting the salon, make sure to have a shower after your workout. She's treated people who've been very smelly as the result of them exercising beforehand. And if you don't have time to freshen up, the expert recommended a feminine wipe does the trick, though. Simple, easy, pop to the potty before the quick treat, a quick wipe of the lady garden, and voila, you're deodorized. So listen, crotch rot, not appreciated. The next thing you might not want to do, just like exercise can make you sweaty, so can sex. The beautician admitted way too women go for a wax straight after sex. Now, I'm going to stop here for a second. What in the hell would possess a person to say, you know what? I just went ahead and got laid. You know what I'm feeling right now? I'm thinking it's time to get all the pubic hair ripped out of my freaking, genital region because, yeah. What an exclamation point. Holy fucking shit. So, not only is the odor unmistakable and unpleasant, but it can also cause puffiness in the intimate regions. So, wait to go ahead and fuck until after the appointment, please, all right? Third, it's common courtesy to avoid the beauty salon when you're on your period. Are we taking notes? There will be a test on this later. Not only does it make it awkward for waxers, it can also make the sessions a lot more painful. Your body's more sensitive at that time of the month, so it really doesn't do anyone's favors. Why don't you just wait a few days, right? Then, of course, the absolute worst situation has to be crap in the bum region, right? If you've used the toilet before the appointment, it's probably a good idea to hop in the shower. And I'm just thinking to myself,
dude,
what
the fuck?
Where the fuck do you go, right? You sit there and you're like, you know, it'll be great right before I get the pubic hair ripped out of my freaking scrotum and my vagina. You know, it'll be awesome. Let me go take a dump first. Might as well drop the kids off the pool first. And then I'll tell you what, let me go ahead and just have her wax my ass, and then on top of that, maybe bleach the brown eye pink. You know what I'm saying? Nothing says beautiful, refreshing, and I'm ready to go quite like dropping the kids off at the pool and getting your brown eye pink. I'm just saying. And, of course, there's the fart attack, right? Only one lady's ever farted in her presence before. But, man, you might want to lay off the beans. You might want to go ahead and hold off on that diet, especially to jar your farts up for sale. Kind of like that woman we talked about on Christmas Eve who jarred up her farts from 90 Day Fiancé and made $45,000. Let's be real, kids. You're not going to be going over there and actually, like, having, like, a live studio session where you just let them rip over inside of a jar and jar them up right there. This lady's going down there. She's trying to go ahead and wax and remove all that stuff. Get everything smooth. Make the tennis court wonderful, so to speak. You can't be sitting there and letting a wet one rip right as you go ahead and rip off your freaking pubes. You got it? Did we get our notes down?
Did I make myself clear?
Uh-huh.
Because I am not going to write this shit down.
So there will be a test on this later. So be sure to go ahead and take a look at your notes reference. We'll go ahead and catch up about that at the end of the show. I'll tell you what, kids, I'm going to take a break here. I'm LP Faust. I'm your host. Cultural Attaché to the Stars, ringmaster of the shit show this evening. You're listening to Joculation. Well, you know, PZ, 3 years is a good run. You know how it goes. Time to rethink things. That's all I'm saying. At any rate, kids, so, you know, it's funny, PZ. One of the things that wound up happening, I got into horror, I don't know, when I was a kid because my friend got into horror makeup. So, like, years back when I was in, I guess it was in the 80s or whatnot, when I was a kid, my best friend wound up picking up Fangoria magazine at one point. And it was life-changing in that we saw all kinds of really fucked up, cool horror makeup that was inside of there. And so we started to go ahead and rent all of the terrible movies at the time, right? The horror classics like The Toxic Avenger, you know, or things like Reanimator, or watching Return of the Living Dead, Night of the Living Dead, Day of the Dead, all kinds of shit. So we just sat there and would binge. We'd spend the night at each other's house. We just binge on horror films and shit. So then he got to a place where he started to actually do some of the horror makeup. Yeah, dude, Reanimator was the shit. I mean, yes, it is a shitty movie, but from the standpoint of like cheesy horror back in the day, that was one of the better ones. Also, Return of the Living Dead was fucking fantastic. What do you think this is? A costume? This is a way of life, you know, with Suicide and all of his group and stuff like that. Dude, it was fantastic. And I got to say, like, Return of the Living Dead is one of my all-time favorites in cheesy horror. So he winds up going ahead and learning how to do all this stuff. Yes, the green goo. And the head he reanimates and he goes ahead. Never mind. I can't talk about that here on the air, right? But at any rate, so he goes ahead and he gets this, he starts to learn horror makeup and starts to get into piercings before it gets fashionable and all that shit. There you go. That gif is one of the greatest. What can you do for, what can I do for you? How can I make you feel better? I want more brains. Yes, that is such a fucking fantastic film. So he learns all this horror makeup and it winds up getting him into cinema. And he works on several different films, has been on at least one Academy Award winning film where he's been part of the crew and stuff. But he would go ahead on like Halloween's and stuff. It was like Christmas to him. So he would sit there and start taking orders as far as what he was going to go ahead and, you know, how we were going to dress up for Halloween. And he enjoyed when I would talk with him about what I wanted because for him, it was always a challenge. So one year, I'm like, you know what I'd like? I want a circular saw blade stuck right in the middle of my head or like right off to the side. So it looks like I'm, you know, have this thing fly off and go straight into my head. So he makes like Knox gelatin brains, which he went ahead and hand carved and all that stuff, his own molds. It was fucking fantastic. But what wound up happening was probably the defining moment was when I moved to Orlando and I was there for a thing called Scream Fest. And when Scream Fest would happen, it was a mix of a bunch of different things. So it started out as this really killer, like independent horror film festival. So you'd have all these people that were like the Kevin Smiths of horror films going out there and doing and sort of putting out these films. They'd take all their credit cards, they'd rack up $20,000 worth of debt, create these films and just screen them. And it got to be so sort of like draw so much attention that what happened was at least one of the films that I saw, which was called Delivery at the time, right? We watched it. This dude spent $20,000 of his own money just because it was his passion project. And that afternoon he got picked up for distribution by Universal Pictures. So he went from being broke and nobody to actually having a film out there in circulation that they paid him for. And there were all these really cool films. I think some of the ones that I loved the most were like some of the shorts like Cannibal Flesh Riot, which was made by Chris Grimsley. And Chris Grimsley did this really cool thing where he's both a horror film director and he also does, of all things, children's fairy tales with a horror twist to it. So it was pretty badass, and I wound up leaving the Orlando area and moved on to other places in the United States. But that whole convention, that whole concept of that Scream Fest sort of fell apart. Well, I come over here to Colorado, and they start having a horror film festival at the beginning of October of every year. And it's really cool. If you've never been to a place like the Alamo Draft House, it's one of the coolest, most awesome independent theater chains that's out there. Started in Texas and started to go ahead and spread out everywhere. They've got all kinds of draft beers, and it's this really cool experience. It's the only place that I'll go to watch any films whenever I go out to go see films. And like the opening thing isn't all for advertisement. They create their own shorts based off of all of these different films. It is one of the most incredible experiences. If you are looking to support a theater that's worthwhile, go to Alamo Draft House. Part of the reason why is because they sponsor these horror film festivals. They create a place for these independent artists to screen their films in these festivals and venues and stuff like that. And it is absolutely, hands down, one of the most awesome experiences. And on top of that, now we have the equivalent of the Sundance Film Festival, but strictly for horror here in Colorado. And it's the Telluride Horror Film Festival. So if you are into horror films and that horror genre in a huge way, kind of like what I am, Telluride is the place that you want to go in the fall. First off, Telluride in the fall is fucking beautiful. Cool air, aspens are turning yellow, all kinds of really great stuff. And it's this old school mining town, beautiful, beautiful place. So check out Telluride. It's a really awesome place. But go for the horror film festival for sure, because these are all the things that are coming out or that are new to horror and are absolutely fucking fantastic. So yeah, if you get a chance, check all that stuff out, and you know what to do. But I'll tell you what, I think I'm going to take a break, and we're going to go ahead and listen to a little bit of music here. I'm LP Faust, I'm your host, Cultural Attaché of the Stars, Remaster of the Shit Show. In that plug that I did for absolutely free, simply because I fucking love that particular genre and the things that and sort of the memories that I have from it, and the fact that there's still this really cool, really strong independent film community that is just all built around horror films in a way that you can't see in most places. Let's be real. Well, that's what it's like, dude. That's a mining town. When you get into the mountains, PZ, in this particular place, you get a lot of these cool mountain towns. Like, I've lived all over the United States. And what's so unique about Colorado is that there's all of these places, because if you think about it, like, Colorado is one of the youngest states of the Union. And you have all of these cool places where you'll see, like, old ranch houses from the 1800s that have fallen apart. And most of the towns have gone into this historic preservation mode where they'll preserve the facade of all of the buildings that existed there when there was silver mining like crazy and lead mining all throughout Colorado. And there are these towns that still have these historic preserved fascias on them. Like, if you go to Golden, Colorado, which is where Buffalo Bill Cody is buried, you go down the main street of Golden, it still has that massively wide main street, because they used to drive cattle through there, probably about 100 years ago. So it still has that. Nobody's moved the buildings in or done anything. And the fascias and faces of all of these buildings are all preserved. And there's some historic value to them. Telluride is just another place. I think it was a gold mining town. And as a result, you still have all of that history and everything that's there. And it's something that is so uniquely Colorado that I haven't seen in any other place. And part of what keeps me here so much. So if you ever get a chance to come out this way, be sure to hit up some of these towns. Glenwood Springs is another one, and Glenwood Springs has got so much historic value to it. Between having the place where, I mean, when you think about it, like, Glenwood Springs was a place people would come to for remediation from consumption, from things like tuberculosis, or they would go to these springs for healing waters. So it was almost like going to, like, some of the most expensive seaside resorts that existed outside, on the eastern coast of the United States. So as a result, do people still mine for gold? They don't mine, they pan. So what you can do is you can go to some of the rivers and they'll pan for gold, and they can teach you how to go ahead and do that. And what you'll do is dig up some sand in the river, swirl it around, and look for gold flecks in there. And there are some people that still do that. Mostly it's for The gold, for the most part, here in Colorado, as I understand it, the two main mines that are here pretty much closed down. Silver was really a huge thing over here in Colorado. And it's so significant that there's a numismatic museum. It's the best one in America. And if you're not familiar with what numism is, it's coin collectors, people who collect rare coins and currencies. My joy, and one of the things that's always fascinated me in life, has always been the history of currencies and currencies in and of themselves. All the different things people would use to store value. This particular museum has got the largest collection of fake currencies that exist. They've also got the largest collection of gold coins that exist. But what's uniquely important about Colorado is the concept of lesser dollars. And there's a gentleman here who is a silver miner by the name of, I forget his first name, but his last name was Lesher. And what he did was he created the first silver-backed currency. Lesher actually created silver-backed U.S. dollars. So he was sitting there creating a currency, a private currency that was silver-backed dollars. And it took off. It was actually doing well until the U.S. switched to the gold standard and fucking destroyed his project in its infancy. I mean, that is, after all, the history of the government, right? If something's working wonderfully, why not go out there and fucking destroy it? So Lesher hates all of you motherfuckers. That's what he's saying. So the point that I'm driving at is you can go over to this particular numismatic museum and you can see all of these really, really killer pieces of currency. And they have stuff that goes back to the first pieces of currency that ever existed in humanity, which I believe came out of Greece, if I'm not mistaken, like the first gold and silver coins that people used to trade back and forth. And they have all kinds of really cool shit. And it turns out that what happens is the Denver Mint was one of the most important mints out over here in the West. And it's the whole reason why Wells Fargo came about. So a lot of cool shit over here in Denver, a lot of cool shit in Colorado. I could go on and on about the place that I live, but I won't, because this isn't a tourism show, even though it's kind of turning into one. So we talked about LP's love of horror movies. We talked about the Telluride Horror Film Festival. We talked about the other horror film festival that occurs over in the Alamo Draft House. We went ahead and talked about Lesher Dollars. We talked about all kinds of stuff over here that had absolutely nothing to do with what the show usually is about. But you know what? Sometimes you get a twist every once in a while. But I'll tell you what, seeing as how we don't know if this is going to survive much longer, if we're going to have to go and administer like some sort of like paddles to fucking OBS, we'll have to go ahead and, take a break here. So I'll tell you what, I'm going to take a break. I'm LP Faust. I'm your host, Cultural Attaché to the Stars, remaster of Shit Show this evening. You're listening to Joculation. So, hey, kids, it's Friday night. It's LP Faust. You know how it goes. I'm just saying. Yes, I was kind of like perusing through the internet. And what I'm noticing more and more here is it's like every other day of the week, you've got another Britney Spears clip with her, basically covering her nipples and going ahead and putting a little flower over in her naked vagina, trying to go ahead and show off every inch of her body after the conservatorship thing went ahead and actually finished and all that. And it just feels to me like it's the buildup for the release of that, accidental, hey, that was a tape that me and my boyfriend kept in our safe all to ourselves, and we weren't going to go ahead and share it with anybody. And somebody actually cracked that safe. Some expert safe cracker went out of his way, and instead of grabbing the crown jewels, stole my porn tape and took it straight over to Vivid, ironically to the guy who was going to go ahead and write us $1 million payment that we never wanted in the first place, but we decided to settle for. That's what feels like is coming. I'm just saying, it's getting to a place where it's like, okay, enough of them. You're kind of like up there with, Elizabeth Hurley. Hey, listen, man, you've already gone ahead and did 18 million swimsuit pics, right? Same thing with Vanessa Hudgens. Hey, listen, all you do anymore, it's not like you're actually in TV, film, or any of that stuff. You're just going ahead and trying to put up thirst traps everywhere. After a while, it gets a little old. Gets a little stale. I'll give you the clue to men, okay? The thing about, am I doing gendered stuff over here? I got to go ahead and be
How
careful
dare
what
you?
I say. Okay, those of us that, of men, it's real simple. After a while, we like a little variety. I'm just saying, you know, the same like swimsuit shot pick 18 times with a different colored bikini. Yeah, it kind of goes away. The interest kind of dies off is all I'm saying, right? So I know. I'm going to go ahead and be like, he's terrible. Look at him. I think I'd rather watch the Gwyneth Paltrow. No, no. PZ, I'm just going to go ahead and say, no.
How about new?
No, I would not watch that shit. You know, the funniest thing is that she's over on, like, one of these talk shows the other night trying to go ahead and pimp her TV show or her latest, like, Sex and Goop series or whatever over on Netflix. And she busts out her, like, Wolverine claws that she has as one of her sex toys and starts, like, going after the host. And it's not Jimmy Kimmel, is it? It might be Jimmy Kimmel that went and is. I can't remember. But it's kind of like, okay, that's kind of desperate, right? Trigger me. Gwyneth Paltrow. Oh, man. No, I wouldn't say it triggers me. It inspires me, right? There's a difference between those. Because if it was triggering me, I'd probably shut it off, right? But no. Besides, you know, Gwyneth Paltrow, I mean, whatever, man. Hate her as much as I do or all of her like weird shit that she goes in and puts out there that has absolutely no scientific basis behind it. But you want to know something? Hey, she's making money off of it, and the Federal Trade Commission, you know, they don't seem to give a shit because as long as she keeps paying the fine, she can keep selling her vaginal eggs and explosive, allegedly, candles and all kinds of stuff like that, right? And you know what? Maybe she can come up with something, right? And you know how I am. Right, LP's this kind of a guy. It's all about, I'm here to help. I'm here to go ahead and be a steward of making things better, about doing the right things, right? Every Christmas, we always talk about the gifts that you can buy, those last-minute gift ideas always, right? We sat there and we talked about how to sniff out a cheater, you know, women that had, like, a breast cup of, like, C and below, I think it was, were the cheaters that, according to that scientific article that we went and talked about. We also went ahead and helped the ladies figure it out, too, with dudes who have, like, size 12 shoes or bigger, I think it was. You know, we're just here to help. We're here to help. And, you know, talking about that whole thing with small-chested women, it just is a perfect segue to go ahead and go into this next story here of this woman who's got a challenge where she's got a minus A cup, and she says now she's ditched padded bras and loves her flat chest, and we're just like, wait a minute.
I mean, what the fuck?
Now listen, as a person that doesn't own a pair of mammary glands that I can go ahead and have a baby suckle from, you know, you gotta be very careful about how you define breasts here, right? I wasn't aware that you could, like, O points in the cup department. I mean, call me naive because, you know, I'm not an expert in them outside of, like, wanting to see as many of them as possible and squeezing my wife's breasts as much as I possibly can. So, like, out of that, it's not like I'm an expert in the world of chesticles. So it surprised me to go ahead and see that you could actually O points on a cup size. I was very surprised. So new things, you know, things I learned today, right? Hashtag. So a body positivity influencer, Lisa Banks, she's now made a video showing how she used to wear push-up bras, but is now happy with her figure and confident enough to ditch padding for good. And it's just kind of like one of those, dude, what? Huh?
I mean, what the fuck?
So she's got her whole thing about hiding behind padded bras in 2017, and then she goes ahead and shows her, you know, chest that she's got now, you know, that she doesn't really have a whole lot of chest there going on. And ironically, shortly after that, in my highly optimized feed, what should come into play here? Perhaps an influencer that we need to go ahead and do, who probably went ahead and actually got her products off of Gwyneth Paltrow's site. So right in the same caption, right, even wearing a bra, she's just wasting money. Well, we can fix that because according to this fantastic, once again, very thoroughly, a vetted site over here, we discovered that there was a woman who managed to grow her boobs from a cup size B to double D's in months, thanks to a contraceptive pill, which, do we believe that for a second, Carlos? I'm just kind of wondering.
No.
But in the event that, you know, she wanted to go ahead and go from owing points in her cup to growing into a full-size bust, apparently she could just do this with the help of a simple contraceptive pill. That way we're doing a lot of things. She can be green and preventing population growth, right? Very important. She can go ahead and promote sexual health, you know, with the safety and wonderfulness of contraception that also has the added benefit of going ahead and causing breasts to just jump out of your chest, just like boom, like almost like a genie rubbing a lamp, right? You know, she just rubs her nipples, pops a contraceptive pill, bam, size double D breasts in just a couple of weeks. What a wonderful product. Probably bought it off of Goop from Dr. Bunsen Honeydew's special basket of collection there. But she claims her boobs grew from a size B to a large double D cup in 2 months and with no surgery involved. I mean, even her plastic surgeon swears she had absolutely no plastic surgery whatsoever. So Darcy claims that her busty chest is thanks to none other than the contraceptive pill. So she first sported, allegedly, a smaller B cup, but since taking off the sports bra and taking the combined pill, Darcy noticed a difference. And in the space of a couple months, she quickly found that her boobs started to get bigger. And, of course, the first thing you do when your tits just jump out of your chest like that is you run to TikTok the same way you would when you go ahead and have, like, tanning, you know, tan in a can application fails, where it looks like you rolled in, like, a pen of shit. You immediately go onto TikTok to share your transformation, and she captioned the post, a good thing at least. So at first she shares a snap of herself in a blue halter and a bikini top as she flaunted a smaller chest. However, in the space of 2 to 3 months and dramatically after her plastic surgery, the bombshell's chest looks a whole lot different. So she puts herself into a black latex dress with bunny ears, sticks her tits out at the camera, and she's now, like, got showing her full cleavage, just like the picture Darcy just put up in there. And we all have to sit there and actually say, hey, man, actually, no. When you look at that, it's a nearly dead Ric Flair you need. That's what you need.
Here,
yeah, there we go. And, of course, now our video, shockingly, has been viewed 2.2 million times. This is not fair. I'm still barely an A cup, and I've been on the pill for 2 years. Well, you know, if you two go over and get maybe a couple of silicone enhancements, don't worry about it. I mean, and besides, taking contraceptive pills, it's the safe alternative after all, because when you look at the state of cosmetic surgery today, you got to be very careful. So, for instance, check out this chick. Her lip filler migrated into her chin, but she says she can't and won't stop. And I'm just like,
I mean, what the fuck?
Dude, I'm horrified. How on earth do the fillers in your lips just, like, bleed down into your chin? And then you get this big-ass green goblin chin going on as your lips just shrink smaller and smaller. I wasn't even aware that filler could do that. And I'm wondering why she doesn't have this up as like a beauty hack over on the TikTok video, you know, caption, have you ever wanted that sexy green goblin chin? And, you know, question mark. So a glam woman showed that when her lip filler migrated and persuaded some people to outright cancel their beauty appointments. So she reveals the latest of her lip filling session, which hasn't exactly gone to plan. While filming herself on the phone, she says, tell me your lip filler's migrated without telling me your lip filler's migrated. I'll go first. So she zooms in. She pouts her face and she says, you see that? Cool. That's what you want. She jokes as she turns her head to the side. Now, her video has been viewed 1.3 million times, and I'll tell you something, that green goblin chin has become very pronounced. It almost looks, reminds me of like the Coneheads or something like that from Saturday Night Live back in the 80s. So she apparently didn't want to go ahead and stop. So much like the chick that kept hammering in units of Botox as her face was sliding off, she went ahead and decided to hammer some more lip filler in there. So, you know, pretty soon we'll go ahead and have something, some really sexy, great Green Goblin chin-like action going on. And I'm sure it'll just go ahead and get more and more pronounced. Maybe she'll go ahead and get like a half moon looking kind of a face. She could sit there and go ahead and, I don't know, like, you know, dial a phone with her chin or something along those lines. But we'll go ahead and keep up with that story as time permits. You know what I'm saying? All right, kids, I'm going to take a break here because we got to go ahead and get in some Richard Cheese before we go ahead and say adios for the evening on this very quiet evening. I'm LP Faust. I'm your host, Cultural Shade of the Stars, remaster of the shit show this evening. You're listening to Joculation. And you know, kids, just like that, are we going to go ahead and get our COVID test yet, or is the night about over? I'm wondering. Now we'll have to go ahead and check out whether or not we've got some COVID manana potentially. But you know something? In the more important news in the world, it turns out, surprisingly, not really, that the biggest loser coach, Jillian Michaels, one of her exes is claiming that she used to spit on people in restaurants.
Woo!
Oh, I love it. So, you know, she immediately has to get on social media and be like, bro, that's a bunch of bullshit. But I'm like, of all the things that your ex is going to do, that bitch used to spit on everybody over in restaurants. And I'm just sitting there going, I mean, one of the worst things about, like, watching Biggest Loser is seeing everybody sitting there doing all those exercises always made me so hungry. So I'd have to go ahead and sit there and watch people suffer on television while I'm sitting there eating some food. You know what I mean? And that just made me feel terribly guilty. All right, kids, so we started out the show this evening letting you all know it looks like LP Faust is going to have to go ahead and get a COVID test pretty soon over here because there's some fucking people that just don't have any sense of personal space. You know what I'm saying? But at least we went ahead and didn't go ahead and have Dr. Pimple Popper suck like 33 syringes worth of like lime green pus out of our back like she did with this one dude as she burst a giant cyst and the guy had the wonderful joy of finding out that, hey, guess what? It's going to refill. Hopefully you'll enjoy doing this again. And, then after that, I went ahead and started talking about the fact that maybe what we needed to do was go ahead and subscribe to the Time Travelers channel that's over on TikTok, who announced three major things. Do we remember, kids? We're going to have a test on this. Well, here it is. Three major things are going to be happening this year. And, of course, so March 11th, the first human child with a chimpanzee is going to go ahead and be formed and be birthed. The second major thing is that a new COVID Omega strain emerges, which is allegedly five times worse than all other versions. And on September 17th, a creature discovered in the ocean called Serene Crowan, which is four times larger than a blue whale. You know how it all goes. They pulled the whole thing out of his back eventually. Yeah, but you know, PC, the best part about it is it'll all come back. Kind of like herpes. It'll just keep coming back forever and ever, no matter how much Valtrex you go ahead and take. You know what I'm saying there? Of course. So, outside of that, we decided that maybe what we should have done is gone to the Mystic Veg fortune teller, had her go ahead and toss some, like, asparagus up in the air so she, too, could go ahead and predict our future. Let us know what's going to happen. Let us know when the pandemic's going to end, whether or not LP's actually got COVID, all that sort of stuff. So from there, we went ahead and took a look at that fantastic guy who probably could have used the veg Mystic over here to toss up her, asparagus to go ahead and warn him of when the plane was going to fly by and dump all of this freaking man poo all over his place. I mean, nothing better than having like frozen shit from like, I don't know, 35,000 feet up just come and pour all over you, your umbrella, when you're having your mint julep and your freaking poached eggs in the morning overlooking your beautiful garden. And then we went ahead and talked about some of the other more fantastic stuff, like those strange donations that were given to the charities out there. You know, things like the used pregnancy test, the, lamb castration tools, and all the other things that they went ahead and received at that time. Watched Bonehead hop in here and then leave abruptly. We talked about some terrible ideas where this one woman went ahead and turned her dog into a Cheeto. And you know what, kids? Just like that, I'm out of time because that's how it is. You don't have to come on back in here, Bonehead. You can leave now because I'm going to get out of here. So, kids, thanks for everybody that came out to listen, catch up the show, do all that sort of stuff. To everybody out in podcast land when this eventually hits the podcast waves, thanks for going and listening. I appreciate everything that you're doing, with each episode, all the support, all that sort of stuff. As William Shakespeare once said, all the world's a stage. So we strut and fret across the stage of life. Always be sure to ask yourself why watch a show when you can be the show. So, kids, I'm checking out here, and what I'll do is I'll check out with you. What the fuck is up with my computer tonight? There we go. I'm checking out here. LP Faust checking out finally. I think I'm going to go ahead and go to sleep. Take care. Good night.
Thanks for checking out this episode of Joculation. We hope you enjoyed the episode and encourage you to join us for the live interactive social broadcast every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. That's also 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time. To experience Joculation in its entirety, listen live on mspwaves.com or join the audience in the Circle of Intimacy on the Peace, Abundance, and Liberty Discord server every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. That's also 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time. If you enjoy Joculation, I have another podcast you might like, Everyday Crazy. Search for them and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening to this right now. If you're listening over a smartphone, tap or swipe over the cover art of the podcast. You'll find show notes which may include details you may have missed and links to my Twitter, Instagram, and Patreon pages. If you'd like to hear more of Joculation and other shows from LP, in addition to extra content, early access, merchandise, and other perks, you can subscribe to my Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/LPFaust. You can also find me on Twitter and Instagram. Please be sure to follow me on Twitter @FaustLP and Instagram @LPFaust. And thank you. Joculation is created, produced, hosted, and edited by me, LP Faust. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.